This is the Cambridge Marketing Podcast, lifting the lid on marketing in the gambling industry.
Supposing a customer's got £10 to lose a week, you want them to bet with you every week for the rest of their lives and lose £10. You don't want to take 50 quid off them in the first week, which is five times more than they can afford to lose, and then never hear from them again.
Welcome to the Cambridge Marketing Podcast, available on YouTube, Apple and Google Podcasts, and your smart speaker too.
Hello and welcome. This week we are in the world of gambling and my guest is Richard German, who is a former online gambling industry director. Richard, welcome to the show. You've had a varied career in gambling. Would you like to sort of start with where you've worked?
Sure. I started off, and I've always worked in the online sector. I started off for one of the first 20 or so employees at a small gambling company above a pub in London called Betfair. It's a little bit bigger than that now, probably the second biggest gambling company in the world. And after that, I did a few years at Ladbrokes. I then went to a company called 888.com, where I ran their sports book and set up their sports book out of London, obviously an Israeli, firm. And they now own William Hill. After that, I went to work for William Hill, did a variety of roles there. So probably spent about 18 years in the gambling industry, all in.
Okay, thank you. So I think we better start by what do we mean by the gambling industry? So what does it encompass?
Well, that's a very good question, and it means different things to all sorts of people. The typical thing that somebody who's not really interested in gambling might think, oh, it's the Grand National.
Owners, too, are being spurred on to win honour and glory and the place in racing history. Marvellous if the Queen Mother should attain that place. With her is Princess Margaret.
Or it's the lottery.
This week, the Wednesday jackpot is a guaranteed £10 million.
It's you.
Then there's soft things that people go to the news agents, they buy a scratch card.
With National Lottery instance TV Dreams, just reveal three identical cash symbols to win up to £1,000.
That's gambling. Then you go into sports betting. Within sports betting, there's so much, but there's basically there's horse racing and there's football. They're the two massive ones. And then you've got your distinction again between your online gambling and your offline gambling. My expertise is in the online space, but you know, a lot of people spend time in casinos, but their casinos are online and offline. Bingo is very interesting, very social, whether it's online or offline. People go to bingo weekly, monthly, or sometimes they play at home and it's very social.
Come on, join the party at foxybingo.com and get £10 free.
Then you've got poker, which is obviously gambling. Massive growth 15 years ago in the online space.
The new 888 poker with lots of wicked cool stuff inside. 888 poker, made to play.
Still chugging along, but not growing quite as much. And then you've probably got things like games, which people who aren't really involved in gambling don't really think of as gambling, where they're sort of like adventure games or softer casino games where people play for low stakes, they go on a journey, they win prizes. Obviously, it's risk and reward. So that it can mean anything to anyone, really, but it's very wide and very diverse and an open and big topic, to be honest with you.
Yes, it is. And has it changed much in the gambling industry with online? I mean, that's your area of expertise. I think before that, one would have thought perhaps of, I must admit, I hadn't thought of bingos, but bingo halls, those high street betting shops, perhaps a casino like you see in James Bond. So yeah. Has the online world changed the way the gambling industry works and feels?
Massively. And, you know, it's much more accessible. 15, 20 years ago, the shift was to online. And then 10 years after that, the shift was to applications. And, you know, going and betting on a website was one thing, doing it on your phone, and things like that. Now it's available 24/7. The operators will want their customers to access their services by as many channels as possible. Mm-hmm. So if you've got a customer who happens to go to a betting shop or a bingo arcade and also plays with you online, then you've got an extra touch point. They become easier to communicate with. You get more data on them. The great thing about the online space is the amount of data that's available to the operator to be able to understand their customers.
Okay, we will come on to so let's talk a little bit about the type of target audiences that you're looking at. So, how do you? I mean, I suppose one question is what type of people gamble, but then also how do you segment your audience?
There's some broad sort of truisms in gambling, and basically, the target audience is anybody. But because the products are so wide, and which is it chicken and egg? Have the products developed to go into the other corners of society where people might not traditionally gamble? I think that that's probably true as well. But men tend to gamble on horse racing, and older men on horse racing, and sport tends to be more male. Bingo tends to be more female. In terms of bingo seen as a softer product, you know, there are thousands of people that play bingo online every night, and they're chatting away on an online chat as they're dobbing away, and they go on and they play. Some they lose £2 or £3 a night. Sometimes they win a tenner. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what they do. They probably have a glass of wine. They're in a chat room online playing bingo with the same 20 different avatars and people that they play with every single night. They mm-hmm. delight in each other's wins. And it's almost like a social club mm-hmm. for bingo. On the other side of the scale, you've got people who want to go onto a casino and they want to spend 10, 20, 50 pounds every 30 seconds on a roulette wheel. Mm. Now that's quite a different experience. And that's what some people like doing. Mm-hmm. Some people like the other. Some people just bet on sport. What the typical, you know, there isn't really a typical person as a target audience. But going back to my earlier point about the, you know, the amount of data available, what you try and do is you look at the, you know, the existing customer base, and, you know, try and work out from that existing customer base where you go and try and get your new customers from.
And so is, from the marketing perspective, are you trying to encourage your, and we will come on to ethics later on, but are you trying to encourage your customers to buy more, or are you encouraging new customers in? Where is the focus?
I'd say it's changed. But everybody's always after new customers. A lot of companies might call them first-time depositors, FTDs, get that first bit of money off them. And that won't ever change. But as the markets become sort of more mature, then the focus moves from, OK, lots of people have had an online gambling account. They've closed it, or they've gone to somebody else, or they've gone back to the betting shop, or they've gone back to the casino. How do you then maximise it? And you do want them to spend more, but you want them to spend more within what they can afford to lose.
Yeah.
What you don't want to, supposing a customer's got £10 to lose a week or £50 to lose a week, you want them to bet with you every week for the rest of their lives and lose £10. Mm-hmm. You don't want to take 50 quid off them in the first week, which is five times more than they can afford to lose, mm-hmm. and then never hear from them again, because you've made 50 quid out of them rather than £10 a week for the next 20 years, which is a lot more money.
So it's classic. It's a classic marketer's lifetime value, calculating that for your customer.
100%.
And do you think you have different, I mean, we've talked about men and women, but do you have different types of people that are gambling online as opposed to going into the shops? So has the online gambling opened up the marketplace to different target audiences?
It has. And licensed betting offices, which we were talking about, they've had a big overhaul in the last, since the 1960s. And then, you know, but they still have a fairly, I would say, less salubrious image. Mm. And they are more welcoming, but they tend to be full of people who are a little bit older, a little bit less access to the online market space, and tend to be more male dominated. So going online allows people to, one, access it anywhere, access it when they want, not between the hours, opening hours of a shop, mm-hmm. When the match is on, when you want to play, you know, when your shift finishes at 2 in the morning, when you want to play poker late at night, you know, it just becomes 24/7 and global rather than limited to when the shop happens to be open.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and you're right. They don't have a slip. I mean, I have to say, I've never been into a, what did you call it, a licensed betting office. It just wouldn't seem to be a comfortable place to go. So, yes, I take your point on that. So what sort of marketing ideas and practices do you use within the industry?
The whole mixture of acquisition, and then the second stage is retention, and then the third stage is reactivation. So on the activation side, you've obviously got your offline stuff, your TV.
Welcome to Play to Red! Incredible! Play our exclusive slot, like the Cube, I'm a Celeb, and Tipping Point!
Your press, not so much nowadays. Your sponsorship, which gets a lot of headlines, you know, your mm-hmm. shirt sponsorship in the football. Mm-hmm. Radio as well, which is very effective.
Here they come, racing lovers of the UK in the Coral Fat Derby. We've got the women with hats the size of houses boxing in the armchair experts. Neck and neck, it's the number crunchers. Their pencils sharp, their expertise sharper. The parents on a day out are the ones to catch. But moving up on the outside are those who back the horse because it's got a funny name.
And then on the online stuff, it's the usual mix of your SEM, search engine marketing, your SEO, and your PPC. And running those campaigns on an online basis, it's basically run a campaign, analyze the numbers, see what's working, rinse, repeat, see how it's going. Mm-hmm. I mean, the data that you can get from bidding on different terms, putting your banner adverts in various different sites, you know, you can't go on to a website, a search engine now and search for online betting. You will get spammed by all sorts of different pop-ups. Different cookies will come onto your device. Everybody was saying bet with me, you know, the targeted ads that they come to you, and it's the same as any other online business in regard to getting people to click through and become that first time depositor.
Mm-hmm. So, Is there a sort of journey that you take people through? So you become, we acquire you, you become a first-time depositor, and then is there something you want to do to get them to do the next bit and the next bit? Are there definite techniques there?
Well, so in terms of getting them to understand how to play, there's free bets, free spins, free games. That gives them a chance to sort of try it out. It's also quite attractive because they can win some money. Mm-hmm. The next thing you want to do is you want them to get them to try and look at different products, whether they've started betting on horse racing, but you say, actually, there's a big football match. Or they've started betting on bingo, you say, OK, do you want to try and play games? Or if you can get them different touch points onto, say, from sports onto casino, onto games, you've got a customer who's got something to play 24/7 and is much more valuable and stickier.
And how much has it changed? Because advertising regulations opened up, certainly in the UK, about being able to advertise gambling. How much did that, I mean, presumably that transformed everything, or is that, did it just change the techniques that you used?
Well, there was a Gambling Commission Act in 2005, which was a long time in the making. And the outcome of it, after 3 or 4 years of consultation, was that the UK decided as a country that the gambling industry was a worthwhile industry and needed to be regulated and well regulated. And out of that, we've got very strict guidelines and rules about what is allowed and what isn't allowed. So the operators now have a very strict sort of playbook as what they can do, which is good. Before that, it was a bit of a Wild West, and the tone is always it's a bit of a political football. We'll hear it again this year before the election. Mm-hmm. It's generally a vote winner for the older demographic of people who actually vote, is that bet gambling's a bad thing, and that's quite attractive to MPs. And that is one of the things that the gambling industry, I think, is unfairly painted with. We'll come on, I think, probably to responsible gambling in a minute. Mm-hmm. But what we've got to remember is there are hundreds of thousands of people who are recreational gamblers who lose a bit, win a bit, lose a bit more. They enjoy it. You know, some people play golf. Some people collect stamps. Some people go ice skating. it's a leisure industry, and we are marketing against people who, you know, go to football, go to Speedway, go to book club. It's that leisure pound that we're after. It's not the same as your salary comes in at the end of every week or every month, and some of it goes to the mortgage, some of it goes to the council tax, some of it goes to pay the food bills. And then if you've got a bit left over, what do you spend it on? Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people who like a flutter.
What sort of challenges do you come up against? I mean, you've sort of indicated this, so you can become a bit of a political football, but just within the marketing space, where are the challenges?
Just the competition, the cost of acquisition. CPA is what everyone will say. And whereas before you could put your campaigns here, there, and you'd be spending 50 pounds to get a customer. Mm-hmm. As the market becomes more mature and everybody else is becoming more sophisticated in grabbing that customer base, there are also less customers to go after because they've signed up to somebody else, or they've mm-hmm. previously been a customer of yours. So you can't count them again. So that cost of acquisition goes up. So then all of a sudden you've got to be cuter as to how you spend your money and how you get them in the door.
Mm-hmm. What is the actual product that you're selling? I think this is the bit I sort of possibly struggle the most with gambling, because there's lots of different ways of gambling, but what's the actual core product?
For me, I'm a sports fan and I enjoy watching sport and having a bet. When you win, the feeling of having one over on the bookmaker mm-hmm. is great, and you feel cleverer than them, and you might want to tell your mates about it down the pub. You might not, but it's kind of like a puzzle. That's for me. For other people, I think it's quite social on the games and the bingo side. On the offline side, in the betting shop and in the bingo hall, it's social. Casino is more about the adrenaline of winning big and losing big. One thing that people don't really understand about gambling is that although most gamblers, they talk about what it feels like when gamblers win, but gamblers also, every single gambler likes that sort of get out of jail card where their bet looks really bad and then all of a sudden they're up. That's the best feeling in the world. So I suppose you're training on those endorphins that kick in when people look like they're going to lose £50 and all of a sudden they've won £50. That's a £100 swing in their head. They're delighted.
Mm-hmm. So it is a dopamine hit. You are the product really is that sort of is the emotion.
Yeah. I don't know, most people have been to a horse racing event at some point in their life and they've put £2 each way on a horse and it's won. And all of a sudden you've got £35 in your pocket and you go and buy a round of drinks. It mm-hmm. feels fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we've sort of skirted a little bit around the ethical side, but it would be completely remiss not to discuss it. So obviously gambling is legal. It's illegal and it's a regulated industry. But as you yourself said, come up to the election, it's going to be a political football. Not everybody is comfortable with it. So I think there's two ways with this. One is a sort of personal thing about working within gambling and how comfortable are you with the ethical side of the industry?
So I spent over 15 years in the industry and I asked these questions to myself and I come down on the side of that everybody's an adult and it's up to everybody else, everybody's personal responsibility at how they spend their money. As I've mentioned, the vast majority of players don't have a problem. What is very sad is that some players, customers, do have a problem and they develop a gambling habit. Now, the gambling industry has woken up in the last 15 years categorically and addresses this very seriously now. It's not acceptable. And they've realised that things like, please gamble responsibly at the end of every advert does eventually hit home. There are all sorts of online tools now that are mandatory for customers to be able to say, actually, when I log on to play poker for a session, I can set the maximum time that I'm allowed to play. whether it be an hour or 2 hours, you can configure it yourself. Deposit limits, you can say, okay, I'm only going to allow myself to deposit £20 a week, £50 a week, whatever you choose. And then in the back end, there are, you get horror stories in the press every year, not every year, occasionally in the of a gambler that's gone under the radar and has lost more than he can afford to lose, and the company gets fined because of it now. Now, there are all sorts of protocols in the background, similar to the marketing data where you're analysing a customer for his touch points to try and massage him or her to keep playing and to spend some money, where if players hit the red flags and those red flags come up, the operator has to do something about it, has to contact them and say, do you know you've lost £1,000 in the last 6 months, sir? Do you know you've deposited 15 times in the last 30 days? There are all sorts of parameters and protocols which are audited, and if their customers are losing more than they can afford and the gambling operator is held to task, that is auditable and, you know, they'll be punished.
And do you think, are there marketing techniques that the industry uses to try and encourage people to gamble responsibly?
I think in terms of just limiting the amount of time that people are allowed to play on some of the higher risk stuff, mm-hmm. That's been, I won't say the gambling industry welcomed that, but in the betting shops, particularly the roulette machines, the speed of the spins has been reduced. So previously you could go in and you could spin the wheel every 5 seconds for £100, and now that is, I believe, a 30-second wait. So that wasn't popular with the operators. Reduced their take a lot. But in terms of operators encouraging people to bet less, it's not so much at the point of sale, it's more the longevity of the customer. Mm-hmm. But going back to what I said about earlier, there's no point taking all of your money in the first week when and you have a bad experience, you never come back, when you could be a happy customer for 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And where do you think the future is going to be for gambling? I mean, it's opening up, it's changed. We've got esports coming in that people are also happy gambling on. What do you think's coming next?
Well, I mean, esports has been coming for about 10 years and it is undoubtedly growing, but I don't see it being mainstream anytime soon. Okay. It's getting traction. Integrity is a bit of a problem with minor sports because there'll be esports people listening to this who are who've got a million followers and hugely competitive. I don't know much about it.
Fair enough.
I think the biggest trend is the globalisation of the industry, being able to have customers in other regulated markets around the world. Mm-hmm. Whether sport is the big one in terms of the Premier League football is watched everywhere, and being able to bet on sports from all over the world 24/7, you can go into an online gambling site on a Saturday afternoon and there'll be something like 600 or 700 football matches that you can bet on in play at any one time. And then you go to the tennis section, there's not as many tennis games, but there could be 25 tennis games. Mm-hmm. And this is most of the markets on that side are managed by computers. So the odds will be set at the start of the game. Mm-hmm. And as time elapses and scores changing, you know, there are human beings checking that the computers don't go rogue, but everything is generated through computers, and the prices are spat out and regurgitated every few seconds, and it's mesmerising to see the amount of an array of things that people can bet on within the game. Going back when the betting offices were legalised in the 60s, you could bet on a football match, who was going to win.
Yeah.
Whether it was a team, Liverpool, Manchester United, was going to be a draw.
Yeah.
Nowadays, you can bet on that, and you can bet on you know, who's going to score the goal, what minute the goal's going to be scored in, how many corners are going to be, is he going to get booked? A game can have 1,000 different bets on it. So just the variety of what people will bet on, and the fact that it's a global marketplace now, and grabbing those customers from around the world, where you know, where the UK is a bit of a front runner, whether European countries, other countries, their regulations become more solid, and whether those countries open up for regulated gaming, and something that we're seeing in America, you know, it's obviously state by state, mm-hmm. And the American market is huge, and there's a big land grab there. It's not clear which way it's going to go. Some states are becoming more liberalised, some states are more protectionist. You know, there's a sort of an unholy alliance in America between the right wing Bible Belt and the casino operators who've had it all their own way for 50 or 60 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the casino guys want to keep their share of the purse, and the Bible Belt think gambling's bad.
Mm-hmm.
So they these two crazy groups have joined up, and they've both got the same interest for different reasons.
It's an interesting way of looking at it, but yes, I do see your point. Before we finish, could I just ask if somebody's listening and thinks gambling sounds really interesting, and it's a perfectly legitimate marketing industry, how did it start, and where does a career within marketing and gambling go?
I would say it starts with the data and the ability to manipulate and understand customers and data. The same really as any other leisure spend or even, you know, supermarket Sainsbury's. You know, they look at what their customers want and they give them more of it. Understanding that, but also, you know, could you go into gambling as a pure marketeer? Yes. Would you be better at it if you had some interest in the product and understood it? Of course. If you're trying to sell cars or trainers, you know, you need to understand a little bit of how the car drives and works, and you know what the latest trend is in trainers and how they work. So, on the marketing side, I don't see it's too much different from any other industry, especially for you know the online side. It's about, you know, testing and repeating campaigns and managing that, you know, acquisition, retention, reactivation, and the multiple touch points.
And you're obviously very separate from the actually working out the odds. That's very different. I'm assuming that's very different to the marketing side.
So I came at it from a different angle. I was in the city working on financial futures. And when Betfair was being started, they wanted some guys who were quite good with numbers to make prices. And that was from a mathematical side of things. Nowadays, you know, the maths side is more to do with modelling and writing the right computer scripts to be able to take the odds at the start of an event and allow the computer to model what's going to happen going forward. Mm-hmm. And the old days of a chap with a pencil marking things up at the race course, that will still happen, but he's marking it off from his computer or his mobile phone that's telling him what to do, mm-hmm. 90% of the time. The other huge part of online gaming, which is development, web and app developers, the technical side, how it all works, how the CRM works, how you segment all your data, how you build your website. These websites are huge transactional websites carrying out more transactions per second than many stock exchanges, big banks whatsoever. And making sure all that works, matches up, money's going to the right account, and writing the scripts and the code that satisfies that demand, and it doesn't go down, and people get paid out quickly, mm-hmm. people... You know, and you get the money in and out quickly. Incredibly complicated. Mm-hmm. So that the whole tech side behind, you know, you've got your techies on one side, you've got your marketeers in the middle, and you've got your product people on the other side who are setting the odds, changing the game, designing the product. And that's how it all sits together.
Richard German, thank you very much for that overview of the gambling industry, which was absolutely fascinating. Thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to the Cambridge Marketing Podcast. And don't forget, if you'd rather watch the programme, you can find us on YouTube. Just search for Cambridge Marketing College.